Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we gather in celebration of LWML Sunday. And Father, for most all of us here, we know exactly what those initials stand for. We know exactly what is done by the LWML, our Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and really the M is the important part, missionary. The work they do here at St. Paul in our crossroads zone, our Kansas district, our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, around the world. Father, today we thank you for the work that they do all four seasons of the year. We thank you for the example they set for us. And Father, we pray that you would also make their example to be a challenge. A challenge to each of us, men or women, younger or older. Help us also to take up the challenge of serving you and of doing so with gladness as we confess Jesus. We do pray that the words of my mouth together with the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 2017, it's really a rather amazing year. First off, for us as Lutherans, of course, it is the year of the 500th anniversary of Luther nailing it, his nailing of the 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, 1517 to 2017. The whole world is paying attention to Luther this year. Just last month, every public broadcasting station across the country took time out on a Tuesday evening to show us 2 hours of the broadcast of a docudrama about Luther. It's almost like 2017 is all Luther all the time. But 2017 also marks the 75th anniversary of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, the LWML. The group that has done so much to encourage and support the sharing of the gospel, both within our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and among partners and friends around the world. This is our time to be distinctly Lutheran. You know, in the half millennium since the Reformation began, and in the 75 years since the LWML formally organized itself, confessing the faith has been the goal. And in that same stretch of time, it has not gotten any easier. In fact, it may be more difficult today for us to speak and live as Christians than it ever has been. And who knows what the future is going to hold for our children, our grandchildren, generations to come. Yet God is faithful and has promised that His church will survive all the challenges that the devil, the world, our own sinful flesh can throw at us. Building on God's promises, we know that this is our time to be distinctly Lutheran. As confessing Lutherans in a rapidly changing world and in an increasingly hostile culture, we need to be ready to confess the gospel of Christ to a world that desperately needs to hear it. Just three quick points this morning as we recognize LWML Sunday. First of all, confessing Christ is central to our Christian identity. Luther was ready to confess, and we are called to confess. To confess. To be proclaimers of the message of salvation is central to our identity as Christ's people. You heard it earlier. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. That's Paul writing to Timothy, his second letter to the young pastor. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now, Paul wrote those words to Timothy as one writing to a fellow pastor, a man specifically called to carry out the office of public ministry. And he did so knowing full well the challenges that faced preachers of the gospel in the setting of the early church. But he did so also knowing that Timothy had come to the faith through the Holy Spirit working through the faithful teaching of a committed mother and grandmother. He writes earlier, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. The gospel is given to each of us to share with whomever God places in our sphere of influence, regardless of our station in life. It is not just the preacher's job. Every single believer is called to be ready to confess God as he opens doors to do so. You are called to be ready to confess Christ. And the need for sharing Christ is as pronounced today as it ever has been. While it is true that somewhere around 90% of Americans will answer the poll question claiming that they believe in God, their understanding of the one true God is often less than biblical. For example, also in polls, upward of 60% of evangelical Christians, and that would include us in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, upwards of 60% of evangelical Christians think there may be other ways to salvation outside of faith in Jesus. Confessing salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, is needed more today than ever before. Maybe Paul was writing about 2017 when he said, as Connie just read, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Or maybe Paul was writing about 1517, the setting into which God called Martin Luther to confess Christ. That setting was as easily confused as our own day. The worship of saints had intruded upon the worship of Christ. Works were preached as necessary to salvation, in addition to faith in Christ. Purgatory, icons, relics, other aberrations had obscured the gospel of salvation, which is in Christ alone. And Luther, as he read the New Testament, and particularly Paul's letter to the Roman church, was confronted by the question of righteousness. What does it mean to be right in God's eyes? And the scriptures were clear to him. Keep God's law perfectly. However, he knew that he did not keep God's law perfectly. He knew he did not even keep God's law semi-sufficiently. He tried. He tried to make things right. He went to his priest. He went to his priest repeatedly and confessed his sins. He dredged up every thought, word, and deed from a lifetime of sin. He confessed it. He was conditionally absolved and then went and did works of penance as satisfaction for what he had done wrong. But as he worked, he remembered other sins. His mind recalled other things that he had done. And he realized that his confession of sin was insufficient, which meant his works were not enough. Finally, his priest confronted him. He said, "Luther, it's not God who hates you. It is you who hates God." And with that, the dam finally broke, and Luther understood through the scriptures that the righteousness of God is not about us being good enough. The righteousness of God is about Christ, who is perfect. Christ, both God and man, had completed salvation for Luther. He has for you, for me, for everyone. He's done it perfectly, once and for all. And in that, a great exchange occurs. Jesus took upon himself the filthy rags of our sinfulness and rebellion toward God and carried them to the cross and crucified them once and for all. The perfect righteousness that is his now clothes us in and through the waters of baptism. Where before there was a sinner, God now sees his perfectly redeemed child through Christ. Where before there was a person far from God, there is now a child of God. God's work is for us, and God's work is applied to us freely and completely because of Christ. This, the biblical gospel, is what we are ready to confess. Now, Luther didn't see all of this as clearly in 1517. It took him a few years to work out all of the scriptural implications, but once he did, he was ready to confess. And he did so to the end of his life in 1546. Which poses a question for us. How do we, like Luther, prepare ourselves to be ready to confess? Today we recognize the work of the Lutheran Missionary League on their diamond anniversary. The LWML has had a marvelous impact on the mission efforts of congregations, districts, our seminaries, other entities of our synod. And it has done so always by carrying out faithfully its mission to assist each woman of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in affirming her relationship with the triune God, so that she is enabled to use her gifts in ministry to the people of the world. There might not ever be a perfect time to start an organization, but they could have chosen a time less challenging than they did. Could they have chosen a more challenging time than 1942? Our world had been at war for 3 years. Our United States had joined the effort in 1941. Rations were short. Many young and older men were preparing to fight overseas, and women were entering the workforce to fill the vacancies left by these new soldiers. The circumstances, to say the least, were challenging. And yet on July 7th and 8th, 1942, over 100 women, 28 formal delegates, met in Chicago and established the LWML. Its purpose was to encourage a greater consciousness among women for missionary education, missionary inspiration, and missionary service. It also decided to gather funds for mission projects above and beyond the Synod's budget. And from this humble beginning, and through the now familiar mite boxes, the League has blessed the mission efforts of congregations, districts, and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in amazingly powerful ways. LWML historian Marlis Teig Moberg captures it with these words: "The blessing of the LWML, now also known as Lutheran Women in Mission, goes far beyond the millions raised for missions. Its benefits can be seen in faith deepened through Bible studies, in confidence built through leadership training, in the befriending of career missionaries, in blankets and clothing gathered for the impoverished, in food shared with the hungry, and above all, in the friendships nurtured and the lives changed by sharing the love of Christ." And time marches on. And the Lutheran confession that was born against the intrusion of false teaching still struggles in a rapidly changing world and an increasingly hostile culture. But the Lord, who raised up faithful pastors like Paul and Timothy, like Luther, who have preached the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised for our justification, continues to gather faithful men and women, children, to carry out the work of the Lord with zeal and devotion, seeing the challenges as opportunities to reach out to those who need to hear the gospel. Simply put, our faithful God keeps his promises. And we pray this Sunday and always that he will always empower us to be ready to confess, to preach the word in season and out of season, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. because people with itching ears are no longer enduring sound teaching, but now are accumulating teachers to suit their own passions, turning away from the truth and wandering off into myths. They need to know of our sincere faith as we confess salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus until life eternal. Amen. We continue our worship today professing or confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. You'll find those on the screen. Would you please stand?